Okay, potassium is a relatively immobile nutrient. Of course, it moves. The main uptake mechanism is a diffusion to root from a very short distance. So having a large root system and actively growing with fine roots is essential to optimize or maximize potassium uptake. So when we have something that limits root growth or root function, then we may have, you know, a potassium limitation, even if we have enough potassium in the soil there. We have done lots of research in Iowa over the years, and these effects actually are more important in Iowa than for potassium than for pea, even though pea should move a little bit less than potassium. So the things that affect these are cold, dry, compacted soil, loose soil, of course, and then diseases, and then pruning by insects or things like that. So we wanted to look at what happened with potassium nutrition when we use some of these new hybrids that have rootworm protection. So we have 9 locations in Iowa over 3 years. We have 3 years each with continuous corn. We have 4 replications, and the hybrids that we compared there in the experiment was the double, the BT Roundup Ready corn, and then an isoline that had rootworm protection added. We did not apply insecticides to the double one. Okay, it wasn't an objective of the research to see if the genetic protection was better than the insecticide. We didn't want to do that. We have 4 potassium fertilizer rates, and then we measure rootworm node injury, plant NP and K uptake, EL leaf NP and K concentration, all that at the silken stage. And then we measure grain yield and then NPK concentration in the grain. I'm going to focus mainly on the K uptake. These are some of the hybrids that we compared. We have these 9 sites. These are the soil K levels, but the ammonium acid test. It went from a borderline with very low and low, as we call it in Iowa in the Midwest, and to some high level. When we started in 2006, we have this different type of rootworm protection that we started comparing in 2007, 2008. You will see the VT3. We started comparing that in 2007 in most sites until last year. In order to estimate root injury, we use the Iowa State Index, the NIS, that goes essentially from 0 to a value maximum of 3, depending on some of all this damage injury that the worms do to the roots. I'm not sure what is that they use in other states, but this that we use in Iowa. So we dig roots, you know, in some treatments, not in all. We have 4 treatments. We selected 3 of them, and lots of work there. And this is an example of a plant. This is the rootworm resistant corn, and this is that is not the resistant one. You can see how essentially they have eaten the nodes away. We have of the 27 site years, we have 10 where there was a statistical significant response. So in order to simplify the presentation, I just show means across these 10 responsive sites. We have a significant hybrid effect. In fact, in about 3/4 of the sites, the resistant hybrid yielded more than the susceptible hybrid. But there was no significant interaction, okay? What we see here is the higher yield of the resistant. This is the response to K. This is for the susceptible. Here, this is a linear plateau response curve, you know, but I don't think really there's a major difference there. And then we can see that the rate that gives the maximum yield, they're about the same or a little bit lower in the resistant hybrid. We measured potassium concentration in the grain. There was no significant difference between the hybrids. Actually, no site. There was a significant difference in the potassium concentration. And there was a very small statistical significant but small effect of potassium in the potassium concentration in grain. Then when we put the two things together and we look at removal, there was no interaction either. Because of the 4 points that we have and the 10 sites, the maximum rate here for the susceptible was off scale. Essentially, you can see that there's no interaction. So we just get about the same proportional response, but more potassium removal in the resistant hybrid. Now, one thing that we look at is what was the rootworm infestation there. And so I put here, this is the injury rating, and then I put here the difference between the susceptible plot and the resistant plot, the susceptible hybrid and the resistant hybrid, when there was a yield increase due to the hybrid. And this is the same thing when there was no difference between the hybrid. It was about 1/4 of the sites. Now you can see there is a trend that there is more injury, more rootworm presence when we had a hybrid effect, but we also, it's not that much different what we see here. So obviously either this way of estimating rootworm presence or damage is not too good, or we have something else going on here. Okay. We also look at the effect of the hybrids and potassium on the ear leaf potassium concentration. There was no difference between the hybrids again. This is at tilking time. And there was an effect on potassium effect, increase in concentration, but not a difference between hybrids. I mean, we know that, I mean, usually the potassium fertilization effect is more important, greater in vegetative tissues than in grain, at least in corn. And this is the interesting thing that we found. We also measured total plant uptake at silking. This is not at physiological maturity. This was at silking, the same time that we did the root injury estimates. And this is the plant dry weight per plant. We see there is essentially no potassium effect in the rootworm-resistant hybrids, and there was a nice response in the susceptible one. When we go to the potassium concentration, no difference between hybrids, a significant increase due to potassium application. And then when we put the two things together, which is the potassium uptake, here we see a significant interaction. So definitely the rootworm resistant hybrid is more efficient in getting up potassium from the soil. Because we don't see any difference here, and we see a difference especially when there is no potassium application. Another thing that we did, and I don't have much time, you know, we have all this nitrogen and phosphorus data, but these slides essentially put together the relative differences of the hybrid effect for yield. So this is the yield increase from the resistant hybrid over the susceptible one. For example, grain yield is about 5.5% higher yield, okay? And this is the potassium, and this is across all sites, across 27 sites. Then I put the concentration, okay? This is in grain, and removal. And we see that the highest impact is in removal, and a little bit increase in concentration. However, when we go to nitrogen and phosphorus, it's essentially nothing, the impact in the concentration and the effect on removal is just about the same that happened in yield. So obviously there is something going on with the potassium there. So what we conclude with this study is that rootworm resistant, okay, yields more than untreated susceptible harvest. This is something that's very obvious and it's fairly common in Iowa when there is rootworm incidence. But we also see sometimes this yield difference when we don't detect really high levels of injury or rootworm in the soil. As I said, of course, we are looking about this with entomologists at Iowa State, and I don't know if it is that we are not actually estimating well the infestation and the damage, or if it is that there is something else in these hybrids. Now, of course, what the breeders tell me is that it is an isoline, that all the other things are the same, okay? I'm not a breeder. The other interesting thing is that rootworm resistance increase corn yield with no increase on the rate of fertilizer needed to maximize yield. Or if there is a difference, it's slightly lower. So this is very good news. Now, there is no gain without some pain. So even the rootworm resistance increase in potassium use efficiency, there's higher yield. If there is higher yield, there is higher removal. And if we want to maintain optimal soil test K values in the soil, then we need to apply more K. So this is, it's obvious, but in terms of the practical application of fertilizer management, it is very important. We are seeing in Iowa that farmers are getting much higher yields. They are very happy with it. The fact that they may not need more K in low testing soils, much more at least, is good news. But they are removing lots of potassium from their fields. And if they don't put it on, sooner or later they will have a problem. And with that, I want to just to thank all kind of people that helped me with this, primarily International Plant Nutrition Institute at Monsanto, and then at two or three fertilizer companies. With that, thank you very much.
Time for questions, so.
Yes, Keith.
You looked at the fertilizer rates. Did you look at the critical soil test?
I knew somebody was going to ask me that. Yes, I didn't have time, really. I finished preparing this morning. You see, we didn't have enough number of sites in terms of having, remember, these are 9 locations and 27 site years. So we really don't have good data to look at that. There are some trends there, but we didn't have enough. Probably if we have had 27 sites across, you see, then probably we could. Given some other data we have in terms of looking at the impact of yield on critical concentration, I doubt it will be a big effect. It will be about the same. Yeah. Yes, Miguel.
Who was the placement bed for the
broadcast. I'm sorry, I didn't say that. It was broadcast, and all this was with tillers. So we applied in the fall, like most farmers do, and then chisel plow in the fall and field cultivation or disc in spring. Yes.
Are there any additional questions?
So you didn't apply anything to prevent fruit damage to the susceptible hybrids, right?
No.
Well, do you have any thoughts on what would have happened if you would have done something to protect those fruits? Would they have done the same, you think? I mean, I don't know if you have.
I thought you were a friend. What do you ask me? Well, we thought about that, you know, having another treatment, you know, with that. But, you know, the issues with applying insecticides and uncertainty and, I don't know. You can assume, you know, if there is really good control, then probably the effect will be the same. But that's the key. See, those insecticides sometimes work, sometimes they don't. And the genetic protection is there all the time. So... okay.
Good. I think we'll move on to the next
Thank you very much.